Believing with me tonight?
Amen.
Expecting with me tonight?
Amen.
All right, so let's go right into the Word. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Everybody say, an excellent spirit. Produces faithfulness. Amen. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. So we said last time, and we're kind of just a brief review on our point of focus last Wednesday night about don't compromise. We said an excellent spirit is an humble, Christ-like attitude first and foremost, and we talked about humility, and that true humility is God-dependent. God-dependence. And so humility is a large part of an excellent spirit. It's a large part of an excellent spirit. And so we said true humility doesn't exalt self. True humility doesn't debase self. So you got two different extremes there. True humility isn't about self at all, because self is pride, and the need to share your opinion is pride. Slandering or gossiping about someone to improve your reputation is pride. Avoiding criticism is pride. Now you see where all its pride stuff comes from, right? Worrying about what other people think is pride. And why is all of this typically tempted behavior? Because the tempter is a prideful individual. He fell because of pride falling in him. And so he's using the same thing he fell with. So, you know, we know pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when you get prideful, you're getting ready to fall down. Amen. We know the scripture is very much amplified to us in the New Testament that God resists the what? Proud. The proud. He resists the proud. So true humility is saying about yourself what God says about you. Now, you notice if you don't say it, you lose by default. Just like we say about faith and confession, you know, faith begins by talking. And, you know, if it's the amount, your faith has to be strong enough, we said, to move your mouth before it ever be strong enough to move your mountain. And so if you're silent, you lose by default. In other words, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Never run at your problems, your predicaments, your big mountainous situations with your mouth closed. Well, the same thing, you know, that and typifies humility, because you will obey the word. You will act on the word. You'll operate in faith toward the word. God said say it, then you would say it. To not say it is to say, well, I'm smarter than God. So you're either in pride or you're in debasement. You don't say, I don't feel like saying it, or I'm not worthy to say it. Well, faith has nothing to do with feelings. Amen. So true humility is saying about yourself what God says about you. You have to say, I am a child of God. Amen. I'm a born-again believer. I'm washed in the blood. Come on now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In him I live and move and have my being. Come on now. Hallelujah. In these things, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Come on now. You need to say what the same thing the word says. Amen. Amen. And that is an act of humility. You know, we know in the area of worry and you know, in this case, worrying about what other people are thinking about you, because some people do concern themselves with their own reputation. But it talks about Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, you don't try to pump you up and promote you, do self-promotion, but you let the Lord push you up and promote you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so you're not doing anything outside of that when you obey God, when you do what God says for you to do. And then, of course, true humility agrees with God. We said an excellent spirit or attitude is the key to promotion. Now, many people would probably agree to 100% affirmative that they want to be promoted. You know, we heard our son talking about he's believing for a new job, double, you know, how do you get that? I mean, just let's just break it down into where we live. How do you get the increase? Everybody said an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit is the key to promotion. Amen. And think about it. When God says, okay, I want to bless you, but sometimes it's the blessings lay in that place called, as we talked about last Sunday in the offering teaching, you know, prosperity waits for you in a place called obedience. Amen? Now, Brother Steve had talked about bringing people to church and that had the exhortation that comes. But then again, you have to say, you know, am I willing and obedient? Because who eats the good of the land? The willing and the obedient. Amen? That means willingness has to do with the attitude. That's what an excellent spirit is. I want to be used by you, Lord. I want to yield to your will, not my will, Lord. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I want to obey you in opportunities, like Brother Steve was talking about with his sweater, you know, where he can show Christ or share Christ. And God will present opportunities to you when you in your life experience and around others to show him or to share him, because people will become attracted to him. The only Jesus, we said, people will see sometimes is this Jesus in you and me. Amen. And so you got to think about it. Why? Let's just talk about a hard spot. I'm going to get off of it. Why don't you bring people to church or invite people? Is that pride or humility or debasement? All right, let's keep going to the next point. Because if it's a directive from Christ, it is, if it's one of the great things that Jesus spoke about, meaning great commission, or the great commandment. There's only two great things that we have to really embrace universally as a believer. That means it applies to everybody. We got to walk in love, the love of God. We have to make sure we stay on that love line, that we're active, because love is not a noun, right? It's a verb. We're actively in love with God and in love with his body, his believers, and in love with sinners going to hell. And we forgive them, right? We walk in love and we walk in forgiveness. That's active. Because you can get mad just watching the news. You can get mad at the folks in different states that vote for the wrong candidate that you didn't like. Come on now. What do you got to do? Because humility says, Lord, if you see them, you forgive them. We love them. You love them. We forgive. Why? Because that keeps your faith working. Amen? And then the Great Commission is what? Going to all the world, your world, and proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ. That's either sharing him or showing him. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. So that, I mean, an active disciple maker. People come to you because they're drawn to the Jesus on the inside of you. And you're planting or you're watering. You're planting or you're watering. Come on now. Isn't that where we live? Yes. Amen? And so if you obey God in the little things. Remember Jesus said, if you're faithful with the least, he'll make you rule over much. And sometimes we got to go back and look at, what's the last thing God told me? Did God send me to minister to this person? I haven't done it yet. God put it in your heart to invite them to church, to not just invite, because invite leaves it up to them to chance. But if you bring them to church, you leave it up to you by choice. Amen? Because it's easy to leave them a card, leave them a sermon bulletin, or say, go this, go, and they'll get moved by the devil because they're dominated by the powers of darkness. But if you say, I'm coming to bring you. Hallelujah. I don't know how come I got off on that, but it's good anyway. Amen. But think about it. Let's stop right there. Is that an excellent spirit to obey God? And that's the least. Amen. Because God says, well, I can't trust you with one person to minister to. Because remember, Brother Steve brought it up. He said, you can't despise small things, small beginning. So you got to obey God in the onesies and twosies. Those come across your path on a consistent, regular basis. Then he'll open up opportunities for you to share or show. To show Jesus. To share Jesus. Amen? And then Jesus becomes attractive and inviting to them. And they will ask you more and more. And that's where the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because you're in that place of ministry. Praise God. An excellent spirit is or attitude is the key to promotion. Yet many people think as long as they do the right thing, they will succeed. They think that going through the right motions of success will bring success. But that's not true. Wrong attitudes void right actions. So you got to be what? Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. You got to say, Lord, Jesus is amplified in the Psalms where he quoted, I love to do thy will, O God. I love to do thy will. That should be the anthem and theme of our heart and our attitude. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. Amen? And you're thrilled about it. You're excited about it. Now, we said last week that we must not allow the enemy of our soul, that means Satan, and the enemy and the spirit of mediocrity to tempt us to compromise. Everybody say, don't compromise. And so we said the mediocrity, today's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. And so what does that imply? That implies that we all should fellowship around a culture of constant improvement. Isn't that what we said? Constant improvement. Oops. So that means we get better. Thank you. We get better and better all the time. And so this culture of constant improvement, that means you gotta allow the Lord to measure you and help manage, you know, your level of, you know, these four areas. So we said don't compromise, number one, our character. Our character. Got water all over myself. Apologize. Thank you. Character. Everybody say character. So character has to do with our honor, integrity, our honesty, and our faithfulness. We often said talent will take you to the top, but character keeps you on top. Talent will take you to the top, but character will keep you on top. So number two, our convictions. Everybody say convictions. That means your core beliefs and behaviors. Too many people don't stand up or don't speak up for their convictions. I'm not talking about being rude, rash, and belligerent and argumentative or debating. But sometimes when you're called to action, y'all know what I'm talking about. When the question or the challenge comes around to you to stand up or speak up for what you believe, you shouldn't mute out or muzzle up. That means be silent. Amen. And so when they talk about things and they want you to jump in and agree with them, then that's an opportunity. And then the same thing with behavior. If everybody's talking about leadership or the boss or other people in authority or things that are ungodly, then, you know, you have to, you have an opportunity to say, I'm not going to behave like that. I'm not going to participate in that. And then you're not afraid of the consequences because, you know, God's got my back. If I stand up and stand in for him, he will stand up and stand in for me. Okay? And then, of course, these convictions are based on the Word of God with the standard of righteousness, holiness, and godliness. And then, of course, and that's huge today because, you know, obviously when people don't have beliefs and standards, they tend to crumble under pressure, peer pressure. Right? Or pressure from, you know, in the sense of probably, we can probably think back to this, of the pressure when you're on a date or you're out at, you know, participating in group activities and people want to get casual or sensual. And that's usually when the pressure comes, you know. Can you say no? I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to smoke. Come on now. Amen. I'm not going to give up my virginity. And praise the Lord. And then number three, our calling. And then our number four, I got two threes in there, sorry. Our commitment to live our life based on the Word of God. Now, that's a commitment. Now, this is where people get confused or cloudy and never get clarity on the calling and direction and the vision from God. They say, well, God is not telling me anything. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, the first thing, you know, typically as a pastor, I usually come back with, you know, and it's a hard question. It's a challenging question. Have you chose to commit your life, to live your life based on the Word of God? Because God is not going to waste his precious time and communication if you're not going to hear him or heed him. If he feels like you just are messing around and just playing shallow water Christianity, then he's going to say, okay, just mess around. You're not serious. Because your commitment to Christ takes all of you, not Sunday morning and Wednesday night of you. Y'all understand what I'm talking about, right? It takes all of you. That means every day I'm committed to live my life according to the Word of God. Praise God. And then our confession. Everybody say, don't compromise your confession. Of faith and lordship of the Jesus Christ. When you know, the daily stuff to acknowledge who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. So the one is your individual identity. The other one is your corporate identity. So we often said faith has to be activated. It's voice activated. Your faith has to be voice activated. Just like we know, you know, some of those things you say, you got to speak to it. You know, when you Bing Siri, I don't Bing Siri much, but, you know, you're Bing Siri, they listen, you know, how am I help you? You got to say something. You can't mental telepathy Siri and her respond to you. Or they got these things now with Alexa. Alexa, what's this? It's voice activated, right? And so you have to be voice activated with your faith. In other words, you have to acknowledge Philemon 6, no chapters, it's one verse, Philemon verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. That means you have to acknowledge them to activate them. Now, what happens when you don't activate all your apps? We all have smartphones. Most people, everybody has smart. You can understand we relate to smartphone. So smartphones has a lot of applications, apps. So how do you activate your in Christ applications? They're voice activated. This is who I am. This is where I am. This is what I have. Now, what if you go a week without doing it? You compromise your confession. Because what happens is you won't feel saved. By Wednesday morning, you don't feel saved. You feel carnal. And you've activated your carnality because of the sin of your mouth of not saying anything. you compromise. Amen. And then if you're on assignment, which all of us are, there's nobody in here that doesn't have an assignment in church, in the local church, and that is assignment. That is a high calling. We said it's a privilege to be used by God, and it's an honor to be used by God to minister to one person. So your job could be shaking hands, sweeping, vacuuming, or teaching, or singing. Come on now. Or serving in some way. That is a high honor in God's eyesight. And so if you never acknowledge the fact that I'm in the ministry helps. God has anointed me and equipped me and enabled me to for increase, to contribute increase, to make increase available, come on now, to make impact to the people I serve, to bring impartation of good things based on the truth of God's word through my life. Come on now. If you never say it, you never activate it. The anointing and the power of God that comes with that. Is this good? That's good enough just to come to church tonight. Hallelujah. Everybody say, you have to say it. Look at someone else next to you and tell them, you got to say it. Don't compromise your confession. Don't compromise your character. Amen. Don't compromise your convictions. Don't compromise your calling. Don't compromise the commitment of God to live your life based on the word of God. Because that determines your decision making and your choices. Because many people have faith, but they can't make a decision. And so your life has to be governed by the word of God, meaning what you think, what you say, and what you do. But you have to make a choice to live your life not based on your emotions, but on your decision. Because many times you're not going to feel like coming to church. Right? You're not going to feel like getting up and praying. You're not going to feel like, well, it's time to rejoice. Oh my God! I had to stay up all night, you know. And you're fresh, and you had a real long day the day before, but you got to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Come on now, you got to choose to forgive. Amen. So you have to commit your life to say, I'm not going to live by my emotions, but I'm going to live by my decision, because the devil will play with your emotions. That's the seed and the start of his temptation in your life. He always starts, as James says it very so articulately and so eloquently by the Holy Spirit. He says, every man is tempted. That means every woman. When he's drawn away with his own lusts, that means desire. That's an emotional thing. And enticed. So he's not necessarily trying to get you to do the big stuff like the people think. He's trying to just get you to avoid the purposeful and powerful stuff, like prayer. Amen. Because that's the challenge of leadership, right? Challenge of leadership is prayer. The cost of leadership is responsibility. I have to take a responsibility to pray over, around, and for, amen, and with the people that I serve with. Praise God. Hallelujah. What you compromise to keep, you lose. So God promotes faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, I think everybody's getting that right now, right? Excellent spirit, faithfulness kind of run together. Amen. Excellent spirit produces faithfulness. Because your attitude is everything. We've heard that before just in secular conferences and seminars. I know many of you probably participate in those. And they always say the attitude at the beginning of a task that will determine the outcome of the task. So if it could be a small, menial task, vacuum the carpet, your attitude determines if it's qualified as an excellent job or not. Amen? Attitude is everything. He promotes people who won't compromise, who think in light of eternity. That means they make decisions not for temporary and circumstances and feelings, because those are fleeting, but he wants you to make decisions that are eternal impacting. Why does he tell you to go to that one person? Because that one person could bring 100 people in the kingdom. We had a pastor friend, Pastor Caleb Moran, he said it. He said one person brought 100 people in the church. He was responsible for bringing 100 people in their church because they had enough yieldedness and willingness to minister to this one lady at the hospital when they were having their baby. They were having their baby at the hospital, and they witnessed to the nurse, and the nurse saw all the joy and the grace and the power, the light of God on them, and she's got attracted to it, and she was proclaimed as an atheist or maybe another religion, I think it was, that was kind of agnostic or cultic. I'm not sure exactly, but anyway, she was not going to church or not serving God. So this nurse finally said, "Can I come?" She came, then brought a whole bunch of other people, resulting in 100 people just because they were obedient to minister to that one person. Amen. So when you make a decision to say, "Well, I don't feel like it. Well, we're kind of busy right now. We're having a baby, and we just had a baby, and we don't want to be bothered with it. Let's put our Christianity on the shelf, and let's tuck it away." No, they weren't. They ministered to the nurses that came in. Planted, watered. God brought the increase. Praise God. And then she resulted in bringing hundreds, and then some of those brought people, and then it multiplied. Amen. And he said, well, he went from 40 to 100 to 200 to 600. Everybody got involved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we do the same thing? Can God use us the same way? We frequent those places, hospitals, homes, neighborhoods. We can make a difference with our excellent spirit and our faithfulness to God. Amen. So God created every human being to live wherever. We're all going to live forever into eternity. The only question is where? People who are afraid to stand up and do what's right aren't thinking in light of eternity. Their only thought is everybody's got religion and everybody got a choice to make, and so let me not bother them. Well, their only thoughts are what may advance them on the next 5-10 years. That's short-term thinking. Sacrificing the future, whether theirs or someone else's, for the momentary ease is wrong, and that's not an excellent spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's not an excellent spirit. So let's talk about excellence in ministry, because that's our focus, and we'll split it up in between tonight and next time. Excellence in ministry and excellence in membership. So we'll start here. So excellence in ministry. So we've been talking about excellence in different things. And so, you know, is there other scriptures that talk about excellence? Yes. Well, if you take these scriptures down, I think some of you might have got the text. Where in 1 Corinthians 12:31, the Bible says, I will show you a more excellent way, talking about the way of love. The excellent way is leading with love, doing things motivated by the love of God. Praise God. And then, of course, Proverbs 12:26, King James Bible, says a man who's righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. You're more excellent. A righteous man is more excellent than a neighbor. That means that there's a correlation between your righteousness and excellence. Amen. Amen. And Proverbs 17:27 talks about a man having an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. Same thing like we read in Daniel. And in Philippians 1:10 talks about that we may approve things that are excellent and be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Everybody say excellence. So it's all around. So the challenge to us tonight, friends, is to whatever price to pay, pay it. Just as the Lord called us into Christian ministry and service, he has also called us to reach perfection in a sense of maturity in our vocation. We see that in Matthew 5:38. Now remember, perfection or just means maturity or completion. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then, of course, God wants us to continually improve. We never stop improving. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling from which you were called. So we are required to demand excellence for those that God places us in our charge. Excellence all around. Amen. We must understand and place high value in the fact that we are entrusted with God's strength and might. Therefore, we are faced with two responsibilities. Number one, to develop and maintain excellence of ministry. So you develop it and you maintain it. So you got, you know, you have to maintain your own attitude. So your willingness and obedience and humility walk before the Lord. Amen? So that's something you can know. You'll know. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you. And then number two, to deal with Satan, because Satan is the enemy. And he's always trying to bring us down to a level of compromise or adopt a spirit of mediocrity. And we know mediocre comes from this word, the phrase, that just means picturistically or imagely as halfway up the mountain. Because what happened when people would climb these snowy mountains, hard mountains, they would get halfway up and there'd be a house that would they can resort or sleep in. And most people go in there and get comfortable. And they get comfortable, they get a hot meal, they get a warm house. And do they want to go up and finish the journey up to the top? They end up going back down the mountain because they got too comfortable. So they compromised and they got comfortable. Now, we said even Sunday, you know, faith, the first sign of growing faith is discomfort. And so you have to think that way, too, with excellence. The first sign that you're pushing and being stretched is that I'm stepping up my game. You're thinking, man, I thought I did good last time, last month, last year. It's not looking back and saying yesterday's excellence is still good, because that's today's mediocrity. You got to still push the envelope. You still got to go forward. Excellence in ministry will absolutely will not tolerate unbelief, failure, or taking the easy way out. Now, we said we can't credit ourselves with what we did yesteryear. The old building, when I was first saved, when I was first in the ministry of helps. That's taking it away. You don't want to take the easy way out. A ministry of excellence will pay whatever price it takes to get the job done God's way. Ours is a sacred calling. It must be executed with dedication and integrity. We are expected to demonstrate absolute honesty and commitment. Without a firm decision to succeed with God's help, we cannot hope to maintain a measure of maturity and perfection that our ministry must command. Every ministry, every facet, every compartment and component of Triumph Ward Christian Center must command excellence. So there's six steps. Now you got five of them. I'll give you one. Step one is dedication. That's our decision to find our place in the body and to devote ourselves to pleasing God. And three, committing ourselves to a life of prayer. Committing ourselves to a life of prayer. Now, I'm going to stop right there on that one because I want to elaborate on that point. And I keep knocking that water bottle. So glad I didn't open. Praise God. So let's go back to prayer, because we said leadership begins with prayer. The challenge of leadership is prayer. You know, leadership sin is prayerlessness, right? And so you have to measure and commit yourself to a life of prayer. That means God can use you to pray. Now, let's just take arenas of prayer, which we have, like pre-service prayer, corporate prayer, and those kind of things. You know, you got to think about it. Now, God has really charged me up with, as we turn the year, is to really reestablish the ministry of prayer at Triumph Word Christian. Because we have to dedicate ourselves to prayer on another level to ever get to another level. We can't work with God without praying. And we're no use to work for God if we're not praying. Amen? And sometimes prayer is done casually. We know, well, certain people lead prayer, and we just kind of, you know, in the routine. And you get in routine and you get in rut. Amen? God can't take you to deeper dimensions. There are deeper dimensions in prayer, ladies and gentlemen. But then you have to look at two things when it comes to prayer: your personal prayer life and your corporate participation in prayer. Your personal prayer life and your corporate participation. Usually, the personal one contributes to the corporate one. Amen. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or anything, but, you know, you got to measure your own prayer life. Now, God's challenged me with some things. I'm not going to share it, but because it really doesn't matter, because that's how God's dealing with me. But, you know, my challenge is to increase my prayer time. So the reason I don't share it, because I don't want anybody just copying. Just you got to be led, amen? You got to let God lead you into prayer. And so I find myself now praying more, but praying more in the spirit and praying more intentionally and purposely with my understanding. Now, what does that mean? That means praying the word, decreeing the word, because he said business is only done with prayer. And if you're not praying, you're not in my business. Because you can't take care of business. Now, you can't do things supernaturally and bring supernatural supply on the scene without prayer. Are you listening to me? Pastor Cynthia, Lady Cynthia, was talking about the corporate prayer note blog or whatever from Pastor Lynn Hammond and earlier, and she was talking about, and it's so true. When we talk about multiplying anointings, when we really get a concept of that, we're talking about building shaking stuff, Acts 4 stuff, when everybody's anointings get multiplied. But if there's no anointing coming in or giving up, because people don't realize it, that the most important business of the service is prayer. Peter said it this way with the guys that were arguing about table and food. Because, see, you know, sometimes people get busy about tables and food. And just like it was in the book of Acts. And he said, it's not good for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. Now, watch this phrase here. He said, well, he picked deacons to handle that things. And even in their selection process, they prayed over them. They said, God, you know the hearts. This is the men that they've picked out naturally, but we need supernatural. Amen? Is this who you've chosen? And then they laid hands on them to confer and transfer the anointing, the vision. Amen? Because it has to be taught, but it also has to be caught. This is a prayer process. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And then they said, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. It's the one of the two primary ministries of the church. So when we talk about ministry of helps, the first two ministries of the local church is the word and prayer. The word and prayer. if we don't do anything, we got to have prayers. So the challenge for Pastor Cynthia and I is to raise up an army, albeit small or large, of prayers. Because there's assignments on us as a church that we got to get done. And they're locked up in the spirit until we pray them out and pray them down. Praise God. So what are we going to do now? We're going to pray. Hallelujah. So just stand with me. Glory to be to God.